Getting America Back on Track. Bill Martinez Live.
Well, you know, we got our hands full. Well, happy Thursday to you. Bill Martinez here. It is just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got Bruce Thatcher with us, finally. The founder of History Speaks Today. I say finally because I've been tracking him down, trying to get him on because we have so much to talk about, whether it has to do with immigration or adamant aggressors. Bruce, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us this morning. How are you?
It's good. Good to be here this morning, Bill.
Okay, so what happens, I'm going to get off topic here for just a bit, but it's relevant to your book. What happens when the adamant aggressors are within our own government?
Well, the book doesn't address that possibility, but it certainly could. Mm-hmm. And what it says, and what adamant aggressors essentially says, is you have to confront them or else they present you a choice. You do it our way, or we do harm to you. Mm-hmm. And we certainly see a lot of that in our government right now. Mm-hmm. Both in the part of political operatives and on the part of so-called civil service nonpartisan appointees, because they're put in positions of power. Mm-hmm. And they exercise that power.
Yeah.
I have, as a matter of fact, I've just finished a new book that sort of addresses that kind of thing. It's going to be called Too Big? And it deals with how do you know if an organization is too big? And the answer, without getting into details, is it gets down to does the chief executive exhibit or exercise authority over his realm? Is he accountable? Mm-hmm. And accountability is the question. We have too many government operations where accountability is totally missing. And when that happens, the citizens pay.
Well, the thing that I find interesting, Bruce, is the citizens seem to be devoid of really understanding what job one is for the chief executive officer of our country. And by that, I mean, look, I think, and I've been saying this lately, and maybe my audience, hopefully they're not getting tired of hearing this, because we've got to really get this through our skulls and apply it, that in everything that comes across from this government, does it add or take away from our liberty, number one? Now, you also address the fact that the number one job of the chief executive, the president of the United States, is to secure that liberty and to make sure that we are, that we have peace, that we're, that our national security is in order. And right now, in the current condition, the state of the union is that there's absolute chaos that's reigning throughout this country.
Well, I think I think you're right in terms of Americans. I don't know whether to say many or most, but certainly a large plurality of Americans do not see our government and their position in this country in that light at all. If you were to ask them on the street, so on and so forth, what do you think the federal government's responsibility is to you? You'd get a whole variety of answers, but I'll bet they'd capsulize into, well, it's responsible to give me things.
That's right. Yes, you're exactly right. Yeah. And with that, that destroys the premise, because in order to give you things, forget about liberty. Liberty no longer is the most important thing. It's is the government going to take care of me? And of course, this government, and particularly one party over another, maybe the whole system for, I guess the truth be known, it's so corrupt. It's about buying votes. And I think it's quite rich, Bruce, that they go into our treasury. That's why we're $31 trillion in debt, is they keep going to the treasury and they find ways to come in. In the old days it was carpet bags, but now, because it's all digital, they can do it with a keystroke and move money into areas that allows them to buy votes.
I think that you're absolutely on the mark. I think that a huge proportion of the things that we see given to us by the government is exactly that kind of thing, and people see given to us when it applies to their pocketbook, when they can see I can get my fingers in this. We see ads now that say, you know, hey, you can get umpteen thousand dollars back from the government. Did you know this? And that has to do with the compensation for payroll taxes. They're advertising it.
Yes.
And it's not a we're going to make it free and open and give you the ability to do your best and achieve. It's we're going to give it to you. And that very process makes the people who are giving top dog. It puts them in charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Like to be there.
Well, the thing that's interesting, too, if you follow the money, Bruce, is where does most of that money go to? Does it go to these people, supposedly they're buying votes, or is it because they have access to the money, it allows them to pay off political debts?
Well, people would accuse me of being partisan or pessimistic, but I think if you look at most of these programs, maybe all of them, a few cents on the dollar goes to the people who they're saying they're giving it to, and all of the rest of it goes to political favorites or administrators. And this is very important. Yeah, they pay off political debts. Yeah, a lot of the money, in a corrupt sense, a lot of the money goes to political operatives and people who contribute to the campaign. But a lot of the money goes just to administrative costs, and that's buying votes just as well as the money that's given directly to some political operative.
It's an infrastructure for quid pro quo, to use Nancy Pelosi's words. And this thing just keeps cycling. It's just like all that money that's gone to Ukraine. Do we know how much has come back into the Democratic war chest to allow them to spend 10 and 15 times over their opponent in some of these key, these key races, whether it's for Senate or the House?
We don't know. That's the whole point.
Is it bad that we suspect, or is it just, we just got tinfoil hats and we're just cynical?
It's bad that we just accept that the government, whatever the government does, is fine because they know best as to the way they ought to exercise stewardship over our money and our taxes and our country. That's the bad part, is that we just accept it. We should run it down. We should demand accountability.
Right. I mean, at every turn, and when you're $31 trillion in debt, any household, I mean, we operate in a common sense sort of way around the dining table, but not the government. The government just keeps writing checks, and it's all supported and all hidden by this deep state, this permanent bureaucratic class that exists in D.C. that allows, that's all part of the infrastructure and the system that produces this crazy results, right? I mean, you talk about something being systemic. In my humble opinion, Bruce, this is exactly what it is. It is systemic to the point to derive a predicted outcome that only the Democrats are in charge of.
And it's systemic to the extent that it has become so huge that we can't even, most Americans don't even react to the metaphor of how do I run my household.
Exactly. I mean, Got to go to break. More for Bruce after this. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez with you, along with Bruce Thatcher from History Speaks Today. Bruce has, of course, blessed us with three incredible books. Of course, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils, Make It Work. I mean, you know, there is an immigration policy, believe it or not. And when it's followed, it does produce the kind of results that you would expect. But when it gets obliterated and shattered and unshackled, well, then you got what we've got today here in America. We mentioned Adamant Aggressors, another one of his book, and Rise and Decline is the third book. You can check out his website. Make sure you get your... I mean, this is excellent reading, and this gives you an incredible academic background into, you know, what is happening in each of these topics. And Bruce, you say we've got a new book coming, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's called Too Big? And it deals with how do you know that an organization, whether it's personal, private, government, or whatever, is too big? And the answer that I come up with some historical cases to support it, is you know it's too big if the chief, the head executive at the head of the organization, is not accountable.
Mm-hmm.
If they avoid or otherwise are not accountable for the actions of the organization, then it's too big.
Yes.
And it's kind of interesting, and I propose in the book some solutions, not to eliminate entirely, but at least to ameliorate a little bit that condition that applies in this country to government agencies and private companies as well.
And, of course, the website is historyspeakstoday.com. And what happens, like anything, you know, when you realize, oh, gosh, you know, I've gained some extra pounds over the last couple of years, haven't paid attention to it, it first comes to the realization of said problem. And right now you've got over 50% of the country that agrees that something is wrong. I think as high as 70% being reported in some polls that says that America is on the wrong track. I say, okay, well, you've got that part. So now what do we do in order to put this government back in the rightful hands of those that it belongs to? And who it belongs to is not an unelected, bureaucratic, permanent state that exists in Washington, D.C. and in other places. Donald Trump called it out as the deep state. I think it's deeper than that, frankly, and much more pernicious, because their lust for power and control is beyond anything that you and I could imagine. I mean, to the point that they're willing to kill over it, Bruce, and that's clear.
Yeah, and they manipulate the perception of reality that exists in this country. They choose to create a new reality for people to address their interests, but theoretically to address the interests of the people. Last week, they announced what they called the most restrictive border control measures, you know, ever. Mm. And what they are issuing is a temporary, underline temporary, we can get back to it, rule that will penalize asylum seekers who cross the border illegally or fail to apply for protection in other countries they transit on their way to the United States. And they present this. Here's a new thing that we're going to do to control the border. That was the policy. That was the practice for decades,
yes,
going back into the 80s, when it was canceled with the last two administrations. And now it's being presented again as a new thing on the part of this government. You ask why. I ask why. Why are they doing this, and why now? Excuse me. And the answer I have to come to is they're doing this because an election is coming up.
Right. Yeah.
And, I mean, the purpose of people in power is to stay in power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Biden administration recognizes that 50 or 70% who are now saying, we don't agree that we're going in the right direction. So they're saying, how can we change their reality? Mm-hmm. And so they say, here's something new, even though it isn't new. But notice, I notice anyway, that even in their own announcement, they say it's a temporary rule and it's going to expire just after the elections.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's
built right into the rule that it's going to last for 2 years. And so I think that you see the duplicity of this organization, this government organization, and they're unabashed. They absolutely don't even pretend to try to hide it.
And Bruce, shame on the legacy media for not stepping up and doing their job. I mean, the reason we have a First Amendment, freedom of the press, is so that they would do the bidding on behalf of the American people, that they would hold this government accountable. But instead, they have joined forces with the government, and they've become ideologically fixed to a plan and program that is antithetical. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical. Absolutely. It doesn't run run consistent with anything that our founding fathers wrote in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. In fact, they would just as soon have those documents eradicated. They've already done so in the educational process by indoctrinating our kids to get them to believe, like that same question that came out of the Garden of Eden. Did your founding fathers really say?
Yeah, they have. The Constitution sets up, deliberately, sets up the fourth estate, the press, to monitor the government. It sets them up, it gives them special protections and special responsibilities to do this. And they have just, I mean, exceptions, sure, but they just absolutely ignored that. They don't even report on the, what the government's doing unless it makes the government look good. And right. they block anybody who wants to get out information about a different approach or about a challenge to it. I think the press has absolutely given up their right to the protections they get under the First Amendment. And I'm not suggesting the First Amendment be repealed, but it's just beyond me.
Well, we have to get a press that can do their job. And as you say, Bruce, the problem that we have is the preponderance. Yes, there are exceptions, but the preponderance of journalists who have bailed and are missing in action from their needed position has been hurtful to this constitutional republic. And they will participate. I mean, they participated just like, you know, with what happened with COVID. I mean, they participated with this government. They went and got in bed with this government for whatever reason, you know, because of shared ideology, you know, some promises on the other end, that sort of thing. It is unconscionable to me. But I think differently. I want to believe that, you know, I served in the military to protect, to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, that we should all have a fair shot to be successful, that the Constitution gives us that shot. Now, I get that. I get the fact that some people want the easy way, and the government knows that. And they got our money. They control our money to lead people down this false road of happiness that they can never deliver. I mean, this is what happened at our founding, right? I mean, the pilgrims found this out the hard way. Socialism doesn't work because you had the people who have that work ethic within them. They're wired to do it. They're the ones that are working, and the other lazy ones are sitting home just saying, hey, bring it to me, right?
It is right, and you can go into history and see this over and over and over again on governments, on nations that have risen to prominence in history and then disappeared. And the reason is because, the reason, according to my analysis, is because the people in those countries or those nations or those empires have given up and no longer abide by the principles that they started out with. And that's what's happening to us, I fear.
Yeah. They bought into the lie that it's easy, the lie that it's sustainable, the lie that the government is the one that is in control of your freedom, right? These God-given rights, we let those go and we subordinate that to the government. Oh, do we got trouble? This is where we're at, without a doubt.
We sure do.
Well, Bruce Thatcher, as always, we appreciate your insight. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen, for yourself, historyspeakstoday.com. Thank you, Bruce. Take care.